How the Fed looks ahead.
This podcast is supported by Netflix Instant Streaming. Thousands of TV episodes and movies on your computer or mobile device instantly streamed by Netflix to save you time, money, and hassle. Free 30-day trial now at netflix.com/APM.
From APM in New York, I'm Mark Garrison, in for David Brancaccio with the Marketplace Midday Update. Fed Chair Ben Bernanke says quantitative easing, the bond buying program pumping billions and billions into the economy, is going to continue for now. Marketplace's Noel King reports on what could happen later.
Stuart Hoffman, chief economist with PNC Financial Services Group, says if you think of the U.S. economy as a sick patient, quantitative easing is working.
This monetary medicine, this morphine drip, the patient may be able to stand on his or her own 2 feet. The economy may be doing better later this year and by this time next year.
Bernanke said if the economy does continue to improve, the Fed could slow quantitative easing later this year and end it altogether in 2014. But there's a condition. Bernanke said the Fed will only pull the plug if unemployment falls to 7%. Paul Edelstein at IHS Global Insight says that's unlikely to happen.
We think that the sequester hasn't shown up in the data yet, but we think that it will. And so we're thinking that the unemployment rate is probably going to stick around 7.5 to 7.6% for the rest of the year.
And that could mean quantitative easing isn't going anywhere anytime soon. I'm Noel King for Marketplace.
American troops are on the way out of Afghanistan, but the Washington Post reports that much of their gear, some $7 billion worth, won't be coming home with them. In fact, a lot of it is being sold for scrap metal. Marketplace's David Gura joins us live from Washington. Good morning, David.
Hey, Mark.
So we're seeing these images of these, all this high-tech equipment, the metal just kind of being pulled apart and essentially going to be sold by the pound. I mean, how much is this stuff actually going to go for when it all comes down to it?
Yeah, I'm hearing pennies on a pound, Mark, so even cheaper than cheap ground beef, if you can believe it. If you were to add all this up.
That's like pork shoulder prices, I think.
In some corners of the world, yes. If you were to add it all up, the U.S. military has about $35 billion worth of equipment in Afghanistan. And right now, the plan is to bring home just one-fifth of all that. So I know what you're thinking, and that is, we've spent all this money. Why not bring all this stuff back to the U.S.? And, you know, for one thing, to pack it up and to ship it back here would be extremely expensive. We're talking billions of dollars here. I talked to David Berteau with the Center for Strategic and International Studies, and he told me there's another reason that the military isn't eager to bring everything back.
We have a lot of specialized equipment that's mostly valuable only in this kind of terrain and under these kinds of circumstances.
And one example of that, he says, is this thing called an MRAP, Mark. That's a mine-resistant, ambush-protected vehicle. And that's something that's been very useful in Iraq and Afghanistan, but probably wouldn't be as useful in other parts of the world.
And there's an awful lot of metal in it, so apparently that's what it's going to be exactly. Chopped up and sold for. Now, people will hear all this and say, well, look, there are Afghan forces. We are supposed to be handing over security to them. Why not give them all this very good equipment? Just explain why it's not quite so easy as doing that.
Yeah, he said, you know, a lot of this equipment, David Berteau told me a lot of this equipment is complicated. It needs to be maintained. And when you look at Afghanistan today, this country just doesn't have the infrastructure, the capability to do that. It doesn't have the kind of workforce they'd need, Mark, to keep all this heavy equipment up and running.
Okay, Marketplace's David Gura in Washington. Thanks so much.
Thanks, Mark.
This podcast is supported by Netflix Instant Streaming. Watch thousands of TV episodes and movies on your computer, iPad, iPhone, or TV instantly. Streamed now by Netflix, a great value. Netflix Streaming has lots of movie and television options, including past seasons of House of Cards, Breaking Bad, and Arrested Development. Watch them using Netflix Instant Streaming and find thousands of other TV series and movies during your free 30-day trial at netflix.com/APM.
We're going to talk now about an economic consequence of an aging America. And no, this is not another story about Social Security. It's about something that hasn't gotten nearly as much attention, but will be an enormous, expensive problem. Long-term care. Aging boomers will need nursing home care, which can run around $100,000 a year. Many won't have that kind of money. Marketplace economics correspondent Chris Farrell joins us. Good morning, Chris.
Good morning, Mark.
So, Chris, where's the money going to come from?
Well, this is a really good question. And where it's going to come from, who knows? It's a real problem. Howard Gleckman, he's at the Urban Institute, has the right metaphor. He calls how we pay for long-term care insurance a wobbly three-legged stool. So you want to look at the three things?
Sure.
First, private savings. It's our own savings, and we're all trying to save more. But to give you an idea about how much we need to save, Fidelity estimates that couple 65 and over is going to need about $220,000 to pay for their out-of-pocket medical care. These are people on Medicare, and this is before you think about nursing homes. So one is drawing on private savings. We don't have a whole lot of private savings.
Okay, that is one leg of this stool. What's the next one?
You have your long-term care insurance. And the long-term care insurance market is essentially broken. A lot of major brand-name companies have dropped out of the market. The survivors are raising their prices. And the fact of the matter is most middle-class folk can't afford long-term care insurance. So then our true safety net is Medicaid. With Medicaid, you have to spend down a lot of your assets, and Medicaid, as we all know, is under a lot of financial strain. So there you have it, Mark. We have a three-legged stool, and it's really wobbly.
Let's say you're 40 or 50 and hearing this and wanting to plan ahead. What can you do now if you have some time to plan?
Well, there are two things you do. One is you save. And this is part of the whole mantra of saving for your retirement. And part of saving for retirement is saving for your long-term care. Secondly, expect to work well into the traditional retirement years so you can pay for some of these out-of-pocket medical expenses while you can. And thirdly, study, learn the long-term care insurance market, see if it makes sense for you.
Okay, Chris Farrell, economics correspondent for Marketplace. Thanks so much.
Thanks a lot.
And finally, the gluten-free diet is taking a giant step into the mainstream. Dunkin' Donuts is rolling out gluten-free donuts and muffins later this year. It is great news for people with celiac disease who can't tolerate gluten. There's greater awareness of this condition, and more restaurants and food companies are catering to people who have it. The chain's move will also please gluten-free people who don't have celiac disease, but for some reason, just don't like their pastries to taste very good. In New York, I'm Mark Garrison. This is the Marketplace Midday Update. This is APM, American Public Media.
The world can be a confusing place for kids, and finding the words to explain it all can be tricky, too. Introducing Million Bazillion, a Webby-winning podcast from Marketplace that takes your kids on exciting adventures to answer the awkward and complex questions they have about money. Each week, we tackle hard-hitting inquiries from kid listeners like,
what is a college account and how does it work?
I want to know what unions are and what they are for.
Why does the U.S. have so much gold in Fort Knox and what do they use it for?
Help your kids understand how money fits into the world around us. Listen to Million Bazillion wherever you get your podcasts.